Would you join me in praying the Lord's Prayer? Is that okay? It's not because it's what I'm preaching on, but it's the most powerful prayer we can pray. Let's pray it together, shall we? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Come on, can we just say that last bit again? For yours is the kingdom. You might not be able to shout it, but can you shout it with your heart? Come on. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. It's always a privilege to be able to preach, and so I trust that for the next few minutes we'll just hear from God, and I just asking him that this morning the word that he's given me for us today will just really impact and speak to us. Don't we want that? Holy Spirit, would you come and speak into our lives? I have been really, I'm going to use that word again, impacted this week, as I'm sure many of you have, by the images that I saw on the television and just in the media. Jim, I wonder if you can pop them on the screen for us now. I was so impacted when I saw these images. I was so impacted by these images from Witherton, from the home of Marcus Rashford. This outpouring of love and support and goodness covering over words of hatred and destruction. What a powerful picture of the kingdom of God. Come on, this is where I'm going this morning. What a powerful picture for us. And as I saw these images, I think it was Tuesday, every day rolls into one, yeah? Is it just me or is everyone like that, yeah? I think it was either Monday or Tuesday, I forget now. But as I sat watching the news, something just stirred within me, and immediately I'm just like, this is the message of Jesus. This is the good news. Joseph was the one who declared it, right? You read it in Genesis, I think it's chapter 40, when he declared, what you intended for evil, what was intended for harm, God has turned it for good. And if you want a picture of that, you've got it right here. I don't know if you just want to pop it up again, Jim, for me. You've got it right here, this image of what was intended for evil. It was interesting. It must have been on Monday evening, because I even said to Gareth, have you seen what's going on social media? And he said to me, oh, I've chosen not to look today because I can't bear to see a load of destruction and I just can't bear to see it. And I said to him, no, you need to see it, because the opposite has happened. The opposite. Literally, like there was a flood of goodness. A flood of goodness that just overcame what was intended for evil. And my message this morning as I start is this, is that this is the gospel. This is the good news of Jesus. Isaiah 59. If you, there's so many chapters that I could quote, so many verses this morning, but I found myself drawn to this verse in Isaiah 59, and I'm going to find myself quoting the King James, which is ironic, isn't it? It just tells you how old I am, where it says this, when the enemy comes in like a flood. Have a conversation with Grant about this afterwards. But when the enemy comes in, it says the Lord will raise up a standard against him. I want to tell you this morning that Jesus is fighting on your behalf. And what the enemy, what his work, when he seeks to destroy, Jesus said he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But my God raises up a standard against him. And I don't know about you, but you're looking at someone who is standing alongside Jesus Christ this morning. And when I can't fight my battles, and most of the time I can't, he fights them for me. He raises up a standard. This whole chapter, Isaiah 59, it begins by saying this, is the arm of the Lord too short to save? It's not. God is for you. I don't know what you're fighting. I don't know what battles you're up against, but God is for you. In fact, I'm going to say you can't lose. Come on, somebody needs to be grabbing this morning. because God is on your side. If God be for you, who can be against you? Is anyone hearing me this morning? Let faith rise within us. And so here's the thing. The battle is always the Lord's. He is always the victor. And Isaiah 59, I mean, the book of Isaiah, what a prophetic book that speaks into our Redeemer, the hope that we have in Jesus. And in this wonderful chapter, Isaiah paints the picture of evil all around, the wickedness and the destruction that is happening all around. Don't we see that every day? What Isaiah was prophesying, but then he says this, but a Redeemer is coming and he will clothe himself in righteousness. He will wear a helmet of salvation. He will come and be your deliverer. And friends, I'm here to tell you today that we live in the fulfillment of that prophetic statement. So the enemy might be coming in like a flood, but the Lord raises up a standard against him. You can't lose with Jesus. Come on, if you've got your Bible, I just want to read a couple of scriptures, and I'm going to be doing this a little bit this morning, but I want to read the turnaround that happens when you say yes to Jesus. And just look at Isaiah 61. There's so many scriptures. I said to Ellis this morning when he asked what I was preaching on, I said, the challenge of every preacher is knowing what not to say because there's so much to say. But Isaiah 61, if you want to see a turnaround story, if you want to see a picture where the wall is covered over with the goodness and the mercy and the grace of Jesus, listen to these words that are prophesied about Jesus, and Jesus himself declared them. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted, to proclaim that captives will be released, that prisoners will be freed. There's no ifs, buts, or maybes here. This is a declaration of truth. This is what Jesus does. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come. That's why Jesus could arrive and he just said, the kingdom is here. It's happened. It's now. It's here. The time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it, the day of God's anger against their enemies. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give. Are you ready for the divine exchange? A crown of beauty for ashes. Joyous blessing instead of mourning. Festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks. Oh, I tell you, that I want that for us as a church. Harbor Church, let's be a church of great oaks. Great oaks. That the Lord has planted for his glory. It's never for our glory. It's never about us. It's always about him. Somebody say yes. Come on, amen. This is the turnaround. This is the wall that changes, that where the enemy comes to destroy. This is what Isaiah is talking about, where he says it might appear that the enemy is just graffitiing all over your life, destruction, hurt, pain, shame. I don't know what it is that the enemy with his pen is seeking to graffiti over your life. But I want to tell you in Jesus' name that the Lord is raising up a standard against him. And like a flood, he comes in and he makes us clean. He makes us right in Jesus' name. The Bible is full of stories of God's turnaround. That's the kind of expression I've used this week as I saw the news. I literally said these words, what a turnaround. What a turnaround. So quick, what a turnaround. This book is full of God's amazing turnarounds. Oh, I wish I had an hour to tell you. I wish I had an hour to tell you stories like Moses, on the run, fearful, murderer. And what does God do? He meets him and he turns him around. Stories like David is in the outback and nobody wants to know him. And he's just the little one and he's unnoticed. And what does God do? He turns it around and says, you're my anointed one. Oh, stories like Naomi, who says of herself, I am bitter. My life is bitter. And what does God do? He beautifully and mercifully heals her and restores her. The story of God's turnaround. Oh, I could go on and on. The story of God's turnaround. Paul, Peter. I mean, come on, every story. And now would you put your name in there? Are you a story of God's turnaround? Come on. That's the gospel. I was this, I was lost, but now I am found. I was in darkness, but now I'm in light. I was covered in shame, but now I am free. I don't know what your story is, but the story of Jesus is that he wants to come in and turn our lives around. And we have just celebrated this morning the greatest turnaround ever. And this deserves a cheer. The cross of Jesus Christ. What looked like complete defeat. What looked like the enemy going, I have won. What looked like the enemy's graffiti all over the work of the kingdom of God was the greatest turnaround. What looked like the greatest defeat was the greatest victory of all time. And here's the thing, because of his victory, we are victorious too. I even wrote in my notes, yes, come on. Like, that's how excited I was writing my notes. Those of you who know me will understand that. But that's how excited I got as I wrote this yesterday. Yes, come on. And I speak to myself every time I say that. Come on, Sarah. Come on, Sarah. The victory of Jesus Christ. And then I've put this, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead now lives. Come on. So if he turned everything around at the cross, will he not turn everything around in your life? You say, oh, but Sarah, I'm not seeing it yet. We live in this, oh, it's a frustration, isn't it? of the now but not yet. And I don't know. Listen, Hebrews tells us that people died not yet seeing the fulfillment of the promise. But does that mean that God's word failed? No, it doesn't. He is still the God of the turnaround, and he will always be the good of the turnaround. And it's not dependent on what we see in the here and now. It's dependent on his word and what he says. And if we lose that hope, we lose everything. If we lose our hope in Jesus being the God of the turnaround, we lose everything. And so, like Paul, I find myself saying, what hope I have. I have incredible hope because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's a couple of things that I want to just sort of add into this message in a way that was just my introduction. But the couple of things that have just really struck me from this story this week that has just impacted me is this. And if you're writing notes, you just want to pop this down. I want to remind us today, church, of the power of our words. What I'm saying today isn't new. You will know this, but I've just felt for a while, and although this message has come together this week, it's a message that I live with a lot. And I just want to remind us today, gently, lovingly, but also with a lot of passion, we need to mind our words, because our words matter. I want to tell you the power of our words. The Bible says this, our words have the power to build up, but they also have the power to tear down. Our words have the power to bless, but they also have the power to curse. The Bible says our words can bring life, but they can also bring death. Proverbs is full of verses like this. Let me just give you one. Proverbs 18, the tongue can bring life or death. There are consequences in our words. That's what it says in Proverbs 18. Cool, you want to read a book of James? James, just five chapters in James. Go home and read it. It won't take you very long. It might make you go, ouch. It might just remind you of a few things. I sat and read it yesterday, and James just, he doesn't mix his words. He doesn't play with the truth. And in chapter 3, he starts to talk to us about the power of our tongue. He says it's small, but it's powerful. And he says, be careful how you use your words, because there is power in your words. I wonder if for a moment you would just put your hand under your chair, because there is a pen under there. I know there's also some red pens, but under your chair, this isn't a flashy pen. This is just a cheap pen from Tesco's. But there is a pen, and I'd like us all just to hold a pen right now. Because I just want to give you this pen, and you can take this pen home. I want you to take it home, but I want you to hold this pen. Because, and I just want you to hold it for the next few minutes as I'm talking, and I just want you to know that there is power in your words. And as you hold this pen, I want you to know that you have a choice. You can speak life or death. As you hold this pen, let it be symbolic to you that you have a choice every day whether you encourage and build up or whether you tear down. You have a choice whether you speak truth or lies. You have a choice. You have a choice of how you're going to use your words to bring life to people or to bring destruction. You have a choice. We were together on Thursday night, some of the musicians, and Pat just shared just what God had been challenging her on. And she just said that God had really been challenging her on being a kingdom thinker. And that she needs to daily say to God, God, I want to be a kingdom thinker. I want my thoughts to be towards the kingdom. And of course, Gareth, over the last 2 weeks, has been preaching on the kingdom of God. You'd do well to listen to that, the kingdom of God. And in my notes, I just put, we need to be kingdom thinkers. We need to be kingdom speakers. And we need to be kingdom livers. But it starts with our thoughts, and then it turns into our words, and then it turns into our actions. What a great song we've just prayed. God, let my deeds outrun my words. You know, I confess to being a word person. I know I'm a word person. I can talk for England. You all know that. All right, that was too... It's true, though. It's true. It's all right, Paul. You can laugh. It's true. But what a challenge for people like me that can be very good with words, but what a challenge for us to say, God, let actually my life outrun my words. Come on, some of you that are a little bit like me and you gabble a lot, some of you need to make that your prayer. God, would you help me that my life outruns my words? Otherwise, we have every reason to be called hypocrites, yes? May God help us that we live in truth, that it's not just words that come out of our mouth, because our words can be meaningless. Oh, the Bible talks a lot about that as well. Let our words be truthful. Let our words build up. Let our words be life. But let's not just stop with our words. Let it relate into our living. God, may I be a kingdom thinker, a kingdom speaker, a kingdom liver. I want to read some verses and keep your pen in your hand as I read these. And Holy Spirit, would you just challenge us? I should have put some bookmarks in. I didn't, so. And I'm trying to find 1 Peter. At the back. Why didn't I put a bookmark in? Here we go. 1 Peter 3. Listen to these words as you hold your pen. And if you can, in your heart, say, God, help me to live these words. Peter says this, finally, all of you should be of one mind. Sympathize with each other. Love each other as brothers and sisters. Be tender-hearted and keep a humble attitude. What kingdom living, right? Right there. Kingdom attitudes. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. Would you just quietly, because I know we're not meant to shout, can you just quietly say that word, a blessing? A blessing. I'm going to come on to that in a moment. A blessing. This is what God has called you to do, and he will grant you his blessing. Isn't that wonderful? When you choose to use your words and your life to be a blessing, God says, I'll bless you. I'll bless you. I'll do something phenomenal for you. For as the scriptures say, if you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the Lord turns his face against those who do evil. In Ephesians 4, verse 29, you might want to look this one up. It says this, that Paul says, you should speak words that build up and encourage. I love the prayer of David in Psalm 19. Come on, you can say it with me if you know it. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing, be acceptable in your sight, oh God. That's a prayer to pray every day, isn't it? God, before I leave this house, before I leave where I am, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you. Colossians 3 and 4, again, Colossians, if you want to read some instructions from Paul about how we should be living according to the kingdom, you'll find it right there. And Paul says this, let your speech always be good. So holding your pen, I want to say to you this morning, you have a choice. Would you right now with that pen say, God, I want to be someone who uses my words to be a blessing. I want to be someone who uses my words to speak life, because words matter, and we've seen the impact of that this week. Words that were set out to destroy, words that were harmful, words that spoke death, but oh, the power of the words that then overlaid them as life and truth and love and grace were spoken. There's power in our words, and you have a choice today, my friend, how you use that. The second thing, that I want to just highlight today. And again, I saw it clearly this week as we saw what was happening around this wall, is the power of our agreement. Do you know, earlier on in the week, I was thinking it's the power of community. And then I woke up early Saturday morning and I just felt the Lord say to me, it's not just the power of community, Sarah, it's way deeper than that. It's way deeper than that. It's the power of agreement. I can't even express to you, I wish I had the words to express to you what I sense in my spirit about this. There's something so powerful when we come into alignment, when we come into agreement. And the Bible, as I have come to read it and understand it over recent months, is both a huge encouragement to us on this subject, but it's also a huge warning to us. And I want to say this, that I'm going to give you an example of both. And there's a danger that I think, especially when we've been in the church for a long time, some of us, that we have seen the outworking of the danger and the warning side that the Bible gives, and that can keep us away from the blessing of alignment and the blessing of true godly connection. But I this morning want to remind you that there is something so powerful about where we put our yes, who we align ourselves with. And the first thing that I want to say is that the yes, first and foremost, must always go to heaven. It must always go to God Almighty. I love the words of Mary after the angel comes to her and she says, let it be to me according to your word. There's alignment right there. There's connection right there. There's agreement right there. Mary in her heart is in a posture towards heaven and she's going, as it is in heaven, let it be on earth. Oh, you would do so well to pray the Lord's Prayer every day. Make it a habit. Sometimes people say to me, Sarah, I don't know what to pray. And my answer is simply, Jesus told us. Jesus told us it could take you 15 seconds or you could take an hour over it. But if you've only got 15 seconds, there is no better prayer to pray than the Lord's Prayer. 15 seconds every day. Father, as it is in heaven, let it be on earth. What are you doing? You're aligning yourself with heaven. God, what is your will? What is your way? What is your kingdom? Let it be on earth. There's something so powerful about our agreement and our yes towards heaven. We recently heard the story, Mary Jane preached it to us, of Peter, the disciples who'd been fishing all night and caught nothing, and Jesus says to them, go on guys, go out again, and it seems totally crazy. And Peter says these words, because you say so. The power of our yes to God. Oh, have you said yes to God? Are you in alignment with him? Or is he saying something to you and you're just over here and you're not in alignment with him and you know it because there's just something not right within you. And today you have a choice. You can come and align yourself. You can come and say, I'm going to align myself with the truth of the word of God. I'm going to position myself. I'm going to come into agreement with you. Gareth talked about singing an old song in the week, and on Thursday night when we were gathering in the little marquee, probably the rest of the team didn't even know the song that I just started singing quietly in my spirit. And the song literally just goes, yes, Lord, from the bottom of my heart to the depths of my soul, yes, Lord, completely yes. Does anyone know that song? It's very simple. Some of you do, okay. I mean, it's so old. I can hear my dad singing it now. Completely yes. My soul says yes. My soul says yes. It's just a song that says yes, but where's it coming from? It's coming from the depths of our heart that are going, God, as it is in heaven, let it be within me. My soul says yes. Does my mind understand? No. Do I always feel like I want to say yes? No. Is there a battle going on within me to say yes? Oh, you better believe there is. Am I the only one in the room? Thank you for your honesty. But there's no greater place. There's no freer place. There's no more anointed place or more powerful place than somebody who's on their knees just saying yes. This morning I want to remind us, church, that there's power in our words, but there's power in your yes. Where are you saying yes? To whom are you saying yes? First and foremost, we say yes to Almighty God. But the second thing I want to say, the Bible is clear that there's power in who we say yes to here. There's power. There's something about the power of our alignment and our yes. And I want to ask you this question, who are you saying yes to right now? Where are you placing your yes? Where are you aligning yourself? With whom are you walking? The Bible says that we need to be careful with whom we walk. Walk with the wise and you'll be wise, the Bible says. What a great statement. You know, that's not talking about someone who's super clever, got a big head. It's a wisdom that comes from God. It's somebody, what's wisdom? Wisdom is saying yes to God. I want to encourage you. You say to me, Sarah, who should I hang around with? Hang around with people that are saying yes to God. And if they're not saying yes to God, then just perhaps you need to break your alignment with them. Because the greatest alignment is when we say yes to Almighty God. There's something powerful about the alignment that we have in Deuteronomy 32. It says this, one can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000. What's that a picture of? It's a picture of alignment. It's a picture of agreement. It's a picture of connection. Acts chapter 1-4. What an incredible picture of alignment. Here's these first disciples coming together in just beautiful commitment and alignment together. There's something so powerful about our togetherness. The Bible is such an encouragement of beautiful relationships, kingdom living, powerful connection. Moses and Aaron, Ruth and Naomi, David and Jonathan, Paul and Timothy, Esther and Mordecai. But I want to tell you this as well, that the Bible is also a warning of where it doesn't work. Where we can place our alignment and it goes so wrong. Psalm 1 says this, be careful where you sit. Be careful where you stand. Be careful where you walk. It's how the Psalms begin. Blessed is the man who does not sit and stand and walk with the seat of mockers. But rather his delight is in the Lord. Friends, I want to tell you, be careful where you sit and where you stand and where you walk. That's what the Bible says. I was drawn to the story that I know many of you will know that we find in Numbers 13 and 14. And as I reread it this week, I felt such a sadness. It's the story where Moses sends 12 spies into what is to be their promised inheritance, their land. And these 12 guys go in, and for 40 days they are looking across this land that God has promised them. And they come back after 40 days, and Moses says, tell us, give us the report. And out of those 12 guys, only two of them said, we can do it. Only two of them brought back a positive report. 10 of them spread fear amongst the Israelites. 10 of them brought back a negative report. Well, actually, at first you read it was quite positive. They said, it's an amazing land. It's brilliant. And you think, come on. And then they go, but. Be careful of your buts. Be careful of your howevers. Be careful. They said, but. And they began to spread fear and talk about the giants in the land. And they began to speak about the enemies that were there. And they began to say, we can't do it. But this is the tragic that Joshua and Caleb begin to say to the people, come on, we can. But here's the power of alignment where it goes so wrong. This nation chose to align themselves with the 10, not with the 2. And I want to ask you this morning, do not always be swayed by the majority. Do not always go with the majority. The majority might be saying one thing, but do not be swayed to agree with the majority. Align yourself with truth. Align yourself, even if it's only 2, even if it's only 1. Align yourself. Holy Spirit, help me to walk in alignment with those who are speaking truth, righteousness, peace, your kingdom, the power of alignment. As I begin to wrap this message up, I want to say again, don't let the negative, don't let the warning. You know, we can read a passage like this in Hebrews 13 and 14, and we can see a negative example of alignment where it goes so wrong, and we can be in danger of wanting just to pull back, to live in isolation because we don't want the pressure of getting it wrong. But this morning I want to say, let's not miss out on the rich benefit of godly kingdom alignments. Who's got your yes? Let it be God first. But I want to encourage us to be a people that align ourselves with people who speak truth, people who are right, Holy Spirit-led connections. And I believe more and more for God to do that among us as his kingdom come and his will is done. In Acts 15, we read this beautiful verse. As the believers are gathering together and the apostles are there and they're wrestling over some stuff, just like church leaders are always wrestling over stuff. And they say this, it seemed good to us and to the Holy Spirit. Isn't that beautiful? Oh, to be in those kind of relationships where you're able to go, it seems good to us and to the Holy Spirit. Let's do this together. That's what I believe is the kingdom of God at work among us. God connections. Dave, could you come up? Is that all right? Thank you. And I want to ask you this morning, whose words are influencing you? Are his words shaping you? Are his words guiding you? And what about the people that you're hanging around with? Whose words are influencing you? Whose words are shaping you? The tragedy of the story in Numbers 13 and 14 is that the whole community aligned themselves with the 10. And they never got to see the promised land. That's a warning, right? That's a warning right there. Somebody might need to hear that this morning. Who you align yourself with can either allow you to see the fulfillment of the promise of God or not. I believe it's that serious. I actually do. Who you choose to align yourself with. And just maybe this morning the Holy Spirit wants to say to you, it's time to break some alignments. It's time to break some alignments because they're not going to allow you to see the fulfillment of the promise of God over your life. But also I think the Holy Spirit wants to say it's time to make some alignments. It's time to be very careful and with wisdom to say, I'm going to align myself with this person. I'm going to align myself with this person because in the alignment, there's something so strong, something of the kingdom of God. Thanks, Dave, if you want to start playing. I just had a real sense in preparing this message. And just having just such a fresh understanding of the power of our words, just felt the Lord just remind me that we, because we have the Holy Spirit living within us, right? We have the power to speak blessing over one another. And I don't think we do that very well in our culture. We're so British. And the sad thing is that God bless you has been reduced to an expression we say when someone sneezes, right? That's you. God bless you. Yeah. It just becomes, it's weightless. I feel like we use it and it doesn't carry weight. I think we use it too loosely or I don't know. But this week, I just had this real sense of it's time to have a fresh understanding that you and I believe through the power of the Holy Spirit living within us, have the power to speak blessing over one another and to do it unashamedly. So here's the other thing then. If I can, I'm going to use you, Pat. If I, through the power of the Holy Spirit within me, can declare the Lord bless you, Pat. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine towards you and be gracious to you and give you his peace. And I say that by the power of the Holy Spirit within me. Do you know what your position is to do? Is to receive that. And our Britishness always wants to bat it back. Our Britishness always wants to go, oh dear, we get embarrassed. We don't cope with it. We always want to, oh, bless somebody else. But you know what Jabez cried out? God bless me. When was the last time you got so desperate that you cried out, God bless me? And Jabez didn't stop there. He said, and bless me a lot. Oh, that's very greedy. It's very greedy. It's not greedy, it's biblical. This morning, Holy Spirit, let a hunger stir within us where we come before you and say, God bless me. Me. God, I want your blessing for me. Because here's the truth, if I get blessed, you're going to get blessed. Yes? So Pat, do you receive the blessing? She's saying, yeah. Vicky, the Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine towards you and be gracious to you and give you his peace. Do you receive that, Vicky? Yeah, I believe you do. Come on. Grant the Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine towards you and be gracious to you. Huh. Do you receive it, Grant? May he give you his peace. So what we're going to do now is this. As much as I'd love to name every single one of you, it's not about me. Don't look at me as some priest. We're all priests, right? I'm going to say that again. Don't look at me as some priest. We're all priests, right? Come on, some of you need to catch that ball. Don't look at Gareth as the one who's got it all together. We've all got it all together because of Jesus Christ. Amen. I mean, Tim's all right, but I tell you what, Tim, you're brilliant. But don't look at someone like Tim and go, oh, well, I need a blessing from Tim. Do you know, you, because of the power of the Holy Spirit within you, you can speak blessing and life on people. So we're going to use this song, The Lord Bless You and Keep You. And I don't want you to close your eyes and sing this. We get so religious, don't we? We're not singing this to God. We're singing it over one another. And I know we can't walk around the building and do all of that, but what we can do is we can look at people while we're singing this. The Lord bless you, Lindsay. The Lord bless you, George. The Lord bless you, Kate. The Lord bless you, Ryan. Oh, the Lord bless you. The Lord bless you, Ellis. The Lord bless you, Tim. The Lord bless you, Beverly. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you, Sue. The Lord bless you, Sue. The Lord bless you, Kelly. The Lord bless you, Norman, Lynn. The Lord bless you, Rose. Oh, come on. Why don't we stand to our feet? And I want us to look at one another and begin to sing, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine towards you, because our words carry weight. They carry authority. You might say, sir, I don't know this song. Well, just look at someone and go, the Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. Come on, Dave. Thank you. Come on. Yeah, come on, let's declare blessing over one another, because our words count. Our words count.
Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine towards you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his
come on
face towards you.
Let's look at one another.